Friends in Christ, a fellow priest was telling me a while ago that he had a new receptionist at the parish, and one day he was sitting in his office, and she buzzed him on the intercom, all frantic, and said, "Father, there's a man out here who says he's Jesus Christ." And the priest replied, and she asked, "What should I do?" And the priest replied, "Look busy." When Christ returns, we are to be alert, busy. I'm sure many of us have had the experience that you're sitting at your desk, your office, your workstation, and you're doing something that maybe you shouldn't be doing, like maybe some online shopping. And your boss walks by. What do you do? Quickly, look busy. Look like you're doing what you should be doing. Well, we begin today the season of Advent, which means the arrival, the coming. And we have our Advent wreath in a new place this year, as you've noticed, right over the baptismal font, signifying, of course, that when we are baptized, we begin that waiting period. Our whole lives as Christians are waiting for the return of the Lord. And as we wait, we're not to be sitting twiddling our thumbs or doing something that we shouldn't be doing, but we should be busy, prepared, vigilant, as Jesus says in today's gospel. Jesus says, "Be vigilant so that you not be caught off guard by surprise." And he says, "Don't be drowsy, but stay awake." So we heard that description of the coming of the Son of Man in today's gospel as Jesus describes what it will be like when the Son of Man returns. And somebody last night after Mass said, "Father, that description that Jesus gave sounds like what's happening today in our world." I said, "You're right." Of course, that's been the case many times throughout history, where Jesus talks about those things that will happen before the Son of Man returns. And he says, people will be full of distress, and they will die of fright. Die of fright. I looked that up, and it's actually a medical possibility to die of fright. Jesus says that's what will happen when the Son of Man returns. And it will be like a nightmare, a nightmare. Have you ever had a nightmare? 50 to 85% of people have nightmares. But as you get older, you have fewer and fewer nightmares. One of the advantages of getting older. But what's the only way to avoid or get rid of a nightmare? Wake up. To wake up. Or to stay awake, to not even go to sleep. Has that ever happened to you when you have a nightmare and you get up and you turn on the lights and you don't want to go back to sleep because you don't want to have another nightmare? Well, Jesus says, stay awake and don't be drowsy. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. And what makes our hearts drowsy? Carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life. And that day catch you by surprise like a trap. So, carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life. Those are the things that Jesus says make us drowsy. So we should avoid those. Drunkenness. Now notice Jesus here is not talking about the kind of drunkenness that happens from too much wine or beer. Perhaps you've had that experience. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hands, but if you have had that experience, you know what happens. You're not as alert. You can't be attentive. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts become drowsy with drunkenness. So he's not talking about the drunkenness of the body that happens from too much wine or beer. That's not a good thing either. But he's talking about drunkenness of the heart. Drunkenness of the heart. So how does that happen? A different kind of drunkenness. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from drunkenness. What causes drunkenness of the heart? Too much of this world. Too much of this world. Filling our lives with too much of what the world offers. Not necessarily bad things, but too much. My iPad seems to have a mind of its own. I was doing something on it the other day, and all of a sudden I got a pop-up message, and it said, last week, your screen usage was 1 hour 41 minutes a day of average. Okay, that was just on one device. The average person in the United States spends 10 hours and 39 minutes each day on screens. Do you spend that much time on screens? But that's all screens combined. Not only iPads, but iPhones, computers, TVs, video games, any kind of screen. 10 hours and 39 minutes on the average per day. Is that drinking too much? Perhaps. Unless, of course, you have your Bible on your iPad, which I hope you do. There are certainly some good things that we can do with screens, but are we drinking in too much? How much time do you spend every day reading your Bible? How much time do you spend every day praying? How much time do we spend a day serving the poor, going out of our way to help someone? How much time do we spend every day reading some good spiritual material, studying our faith? The point is, we sometimes drink too much of this world, and then we don't have enough time to do what we really should be doing. So today's scriptures are warning us, do not become drunk on the world. And that other thing, carousing. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't explain what he means by carousing, but I think we all have an idea of what that means. Again, carousing makes us drowsy so that we're not awake, not ready for Jesus, not open to Jesus coming. What is that carousing? Well, I think sometimes it means all the things we go to, all the parties that we go to. How many of us have 25 invitations to gatherings over these next few weeks? And those are all good things, wonderful things. But are we drinking too much? Maybe sometimes we need to say, okay, I'm not going to do that because I need to spend time today with prayer. I need to spend time today with the Lord. And I'm not going to go to that carousing, whatever it is. Not a bad thing in itself, but we're drinking too much. And the other thing Jesus says is anxieties, the anxieties of daily life. That keeps us awake, the anxieties of daily life. And what's the only way to get rid of those anxieties of daily life? Coming to the peace that Jesus wants to give us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the season of Advent is the time that we prepare our hearts, open our hearts, to receive the Prince of Peace in a deeper way. And if we are carousing, drinking, and having anxieties, we're not going to have room for that Prince of Peace. So this Advent, I encourage all of us to take some time to ask the question, have I gotten drunk? Not with beer or wine. Maybe if that's the case, we need to ask that question too. But have I gotten drunk? Have I drunk too much of this world? Have I spent too much time carousing? Have I spent too much time worrying about the anxieties that come my way every day rather than giving them to Jesus and praying about them? And then ask the Lord to show you, how should I spend my time, Lord? So that when you show up at my office or wherever it is, I will be ready, I will be able to say, welcome, Jesus. welcome. I'm busy. I'm alert. I'm ready to welcome you into my life. Let's stand now and continue with our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Formed by God's holy word, let us now turn to him with our prayers.
That the season of Advent may fill us with the hope and expectation that God will claim us once more as his own. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us.
That the search for peace may quicken our own consciences and those of our leaders into actions for justice. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us.
That we may be awake to Christ's coming in the poor, the homeless, and the victims of terror and abuse. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us.
That the people of St. John's may recognize the gifts bestowed on them in Christ and be alert to those gifts to bring about the reign of God. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us.
That the sick, the homebound, the lonely, the anxious, those in pain, all who cry out to the Lord, may experience relief from their suffering. Especially we pray for David May, Mary DeVries, wife of Dale, for Carol Stamfel, and for Barb Gregerson. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us.
That those whom God has called from this life, especially we pray for Bernita Cook, and for former President George H. Bush, and for Jade Jurek. May the eternal peace and joy in God's kingdom. Christ the Lord.
Christ, hear us. On this first Sunday of the month, we pray our prayer for vocations. It's found in the inside back cover of your hymnal. Let's pray that together. O God, we earnestly ask you to bless this archdiocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love you with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve your church and to make you known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children, choose from our homes those needed for your work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests, religious, and deacons. Obtain for us many more. Amen.